Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have been a fan of musicals since I was a little boy. Now, I know that may not be the manliest thing in the world to say, but it's true. The Sound of Music, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Music Man were probably a few of the first musicals that I ever saw, or at least that I can remember seeing, followed by a whole string of song and dance movies starring Elvis Presley. Even though the ones with Elvis are kind of cheesy, if you've ever watched Elvis's movies, I loved watching him sing and dance. I loved imitating him as a little boy, and I love how he always ended up with the girl. Well, I'm a grown man now, and while I don't go around imitating Elvis anymore, unless, of course, I'm on a cruise ship, but I still love musicals. I especially love to see them in the theater. I love the songs, I love the stories, I love the sets, and so often I love the message. And by far, the one musical that has had the greatest impact upon me is the musical, I'm sure many of you have seen it, Les Miserables. It's a powerful story of grace and redemption and forgiveness and salvation. It's also a story of folly, primarily in the character of Inspector Javert. He could not and he would not accept that a man could change the course and the path of his life. In his eyes, it was once a thief, always a thief, regardless of what the evidence showed. Even though Jean Valjean had become an outstanding citizen, he'd even become the mayor of the town in which he lived, the inspector could only see him as a fugitive. In the song Stars, he sang these words. There, out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield till we come face to face, till we come face to face. He knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the Lord. And those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if they fall as Lucifer fell, the flame, the sword. And so it has been, and so it is written, on the doorway to paradise, that those who falter and those who fall must pay the price. Lord, let me find him, that I may see him, safe behind bars. I never shall rest. Till then, this I swear by the stars. Now, perhaps some might laud Inspector Javert for his sense of duty. But his was more than a sense of duty. It was a sense of pride and arrogance and righteous indignation, self-righteous indignation. You see, Valjean had already served 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. Well, actually, 5 years for stealing a loaf of bread and 14 years for trying to escape from prison. And Javert would simply not let it go that Valjean had skipped town while still on parole. Even though Javert himself had been born in prison, as he said, born in the gutter, and yet turned his life around, he couldn't accept that same turnaround from Valjean. Our epistle today from Hebrews. I'd like to read the first couple verses again. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Here's the key. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, and those who are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Now, I recognize that Inspector Javert was not a priest, but he was a child of God. And he's one who claimed to believe in God. He's one who himself came from the gutter. And yet, he would not deal with Jean Valjean with gentleness. There was absolutely no mercy, no grace, no understanding in his heart. There was only judgment. His arrogance ran so deep that he wasn't even able to admit his own weaknesses. I know that that was a problem that I struggled with a lot in my younger years. I still do at times. It's very easy for me to look down on others for their waywardness, for getting drunk, somebody having an affair, somebody getting into financial trouble and the like. It's very easy for me to get on my high horse. But every time I do, God has a way of reminding me of my own sin, my own failings, my own weaknesses. And suddenly my heart goes from righteous judge to sympathetic fellow sinner. For when I take a moment to quit pointing out the specks of sin in my brother's eyes, I'm able to see more clearly and to confess more fully the plank of sin that is in my own eye. You see, it doesn't matter if we are priests of God or merely and simply children of God. By virtue of our calling from the darkness of sin into the light of God's forgiveness, we are to deal gently and compassionately and mercifully with others as they struggle with their sin. Since we all have our own weaknesses, our own faults, our own failures, we're not to jump on the high horse and sit in judgment on them, but rather always view them from a position of God's mercy. We're to see them as ones for whom Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary, ones whose sins were forgiven by Christ on the cross, as ones whose sins are really not that different than our own. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." We have been comforted by God in and through all of our troubles so that we are now able to comfort others in their troubles too. I think we can say the same thing about sin. We have been forgiven by God of our sins so that we are now able to deal with others gently as they struggle against their sins too. But that is not to say that we then just become tolerant and accepting of sin, by no means. We are never, let me say that again, we are never to condone or accept or tolerate sin and wrong behavior. To the contrary, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that we are to speak the truth of God's word. And part of the truth of God's word is the truth of his law. But we are to do that in love. We're not to become like Inspector Javert, who pursued Valjean out of a personal sense of satisfaction or accomplishment or pride. But rather we speak the truth, God's truth, and we confront sin always in order to help others so that they might attain to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, our goal is to help others grow in Christ Jesus. But that can't happen when sin is allowed to take root in a person's life. And that's why we can't just tolerate sin. It can't grow unless that sin is confronted and confessed. It also can't, or at least usually won't, happen if we confront others of their sin from a position of authority rather than humility. From a place of self-righteous condemnation rather than from a place of gentle, loving mercy. We have to remember that we are all pilgrims on this journey. We've each sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is deserving of death. And yet God, in his mercy and his grace, has forgiven and saved us. He sent his son Jesus into the world to pay the debt of our sin by giving up his life on the cross. And he gave us the gift of life by rising for us from the grave. We're forgiven and we're saved because of his mercy on us. May we thus be so merciful to others. May we deal gently with them in their sin, gently with them in their difficult life situations and choices, as God has dealt gently with us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.